right, everybody. Alan Ellis here. We are back with more of the Outdoors and Radio Show. In this hour, we're going to be talking to Mary Groves, who is the Southern Region Manager with of Inland Fisheries with Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. I want to say good morning, Mary. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks.
How are things in Southern Maryland today?
Beautiful.
Beautiful day, isn't it? Yeah, exactly.
A lot nicer than it had been.
Oh, my. A little warm out there, wasn't it?
Yes.
All right, blue catfish. We've had discussions about blue catfish on the air here. We've got it's a big fishery. The commercial guys are talking about it. The recreational guys are got wrapped up in it when they started seeing fish 40, 50, 60, 70, even over 80 pounds coming into boats. There's been a tournament trail established. There's been guide services crop up around blue catfish. And now we have the point person in charge of every single blue catfish in the ecosystem, and that would be you, right?
No.
No?
No, okay. Not the point person. But we're the, in my region, and I cover the five southern counties
right
on the western shore. The primary study that's going on with blue catfish is coming out of my region now. It pretty much centered in Maryland around the Potomac River at the
right.
very beginning. Blue catfish were stocked in Virginia tributaries back in the 70s, and about the same time they started showing up in the Potomac River. There have been some old reports saying that they were stocked back in the 1800s, but if you follow that paper trail, you can't really find where blue cats were positively identified. So the thought is, at this point, that those were probably channels,
yeah.
Which it's well known that channel catfish were stocked back in the 1800s, and they've become well established in all of our tributaries in the Chesapeake Bay. But
The channel cats don't attain the huge size that the blue catfish do.
Not nearly.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
I mean, our record channel catfish is under 30 pounds.
Right.
So they do not reach anywhere near the size of the blue catfish. And the guys that fish catfish tournaments, they have sometimes tournaments that are exclusively channel catfish. Certainly, before the 90s, that's what they were primarily going out for, and those are nice-sized fish, but
mm-hmm.
nothing compared to what the blue catfish are.
Well, the blue catfish, I mean, 30-pounders, I mean, that's a throwback pretty much for those guys. You know, when that's the top end of the channel cats and these guys are after, you know, the tournament is based on weight, the best, I don't know, five fish or whatever, you know, it's nothing to have a 200-pound string of catfish to weigh in,
no.
you know, that type of thing. So that's a lot of catfish. Now, you the way the regulations are written right now, these catfish tournaments are catch and release, so these guys can continue to have successful tournaments and, you know, recreational opportunities on these catfish. But you are now the department and other people are regarding the blue catfish as more of an invasive species.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Why?
They're along the lines of snakeheads or flathead catfish. They are new to the system. They're still growing. Even though they have been here since, before the 2000s,
yeah.
it's still a growing population. It's not one that we would say was in equilibrium. So when you have a species that has been introduced relatively recently, it's not reached its peak. It's not reached where its biomass is going to be.
Right.
You have to wonder, okay, how is that going to affect the other species that are in that system? And when we're talking about something like a blue catfish that has the capabilities of getting up over 100 pounds, and right now we're sitting at, a little over 84 pounds is
right.
the maximum here in the state of Maryland, it's not unfeasible at all for those fish to reach well over 100 pounds.
No, I'm not sure what the world record is, but I think it's 120 or somewhere in that
right.
ballpark.
Right, yeah, Virginia,
yeah.
it's already surpassed 100.
Right.
So the Potomac River in particular, and that's not the only place that we have blue catfish in Maryland, but the Potomac River in particular, it has a lot of forage. It has quite a few fish. It has the anadromous fish that are coming and going. So the amount of food that's available in there makes it perfectly feasible that those fish will reach over 100 pounds. So when you've got a fish that isn't normally there and it's still not at an equilibrium, it's still a growing population, you have to look at what's going on in that population and see how it's affecting what's going on around it and decide, hey, is this something that we can actually, you know, accept, or is this something that we really look at that has a possibility of creating adverse effect on other species, particularly something like the shad population or the herring
right.
population, which are already, you know, some of those fisheries are still in recovery.
Sure.
We're still stocking.
Sure.
So to that end, there's a group of an interagency group of people that have been assigned with studying blue catfish, their diet, how far the population has expanded, what the growth rates are like, or whatever, and come up with the biology of the fish, find out what's going on out there, and we report back to a goal implementation team, which is some of the leaders of some of these different agencies like NOAA, Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Chesapeake Bay Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole group of them. And ultimately, they will decide and try to come up with a regional management plan instead of having a piecemeal, you know, Maryland saying one thing, Virginia saying another,
right.
BC Fisheries saying another thing. So we're trying to come to a consensus region-wide on exactly, how we'll handle blue catfish.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
What is the native range of the blue catfish? I mean, when the pilgrims showed up, where were blue catfish at that point?
They're a Mississippi River fish.
Okay.
They're primarily in the Mississippi River, a lot like the flathead catfish.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've kind of expanded into some of these other river systems, sometimes deliberately and sometimes definitely not deliberately. But
right.
when you have a fish, you know, and you're taking somebody out and you're catching some of these, you know, 40, 50, 60-pound fish,
yeah.
it's very easy to say, gee, I want that in my backyard.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
Have to travel. So,
right.
so it's like some other fish species where they sometimes they move around naturally, and they can certainly do that.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a certain range of salinity that they can only tolerate, but, you know, anybody that's out there on the river knows that you have, you know, high water, you have hurricanes, you know, heavy spring
yeah.
rains can really lower the salinity of a river system, and fish can spread that way.
Where are they now? I know that you said you're focused on the Potomac River, which is prime habitat. It's got deep pockets. It's got plenty of forage fish, plenty of things for them to eat. But how far have they spread in Maryland? Let's say ground zero is, the Washington, D.C. How far have they spread?
We've got them all the way up to the upper bay, but not necessarily every river system in between. The biggest population is certainly in the Potomac River. And then the Patuxent River has some blue catfish. That's probably a river of a little bit more concern because the Patuxent isn't anything like the Potomac, and folks that fish that area will know.
That's a slow, low, kind of a lazy river most of the way through, isn't it?
Very much. And it doesn't
yeah.
have as much of the deep water
right.
That I would have thought when we first found some blue catfish in there. My thought was really, well, you know, I don't think it's going to turn out to be that big of a fishery in the Patuxent, only because we don't have the real deep holes like we
right.
do on the Potomac, clear on up, you know,
right.
up to the fall line, and you know, up above Chain Bridge. But they're holding fairly well in the Patuxent River, even though it doesn't have quite as much of the forage base, and it doesn't have the big tributaries that the Potomac does. But we've got them in the Patuxent. I just actually this year, this summer, some of our crews have been out, and they've found them in the gunpowder, not in the high numbers, but they're actually finding them. But then you kind of skip. And I know in between there's some river systems where I've had calls where people have found blue catfish.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't found them in our surveys, but that doesn't mean they're not there. I have
right.
had phone calls, but
well, I mean, we've heard of them in the Chop Tank and some of the other
yeah.
rivers on the shore. And
they're definitely, yeah, they're definitely in the Chop Tank and the Nanticoke and the Pocomoke. And then you've got probably the next biggest population up in the Upper Bay, across the flats, you know, Northeast River, Susquehanna River at the mouth, but they're mixed in with flatheads, and I think people who are out fishing for catfish are probably more going more for or would know the Upper Bay more for flatheads than
right.
they would for blue catfish. But they've certainly spread to those areas. But like I said, not necessarily every river system in between.
Gotcha.
But, okay. And again, if we're talking invasive catfish, flatheads are our second species in there that we're looking at.
Well, let's take a break, and we'll talk about flatheads for a minute when we come back. How's
okay.
that sound? All right?
All right.
Thanks. Very good. All right. It is time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing, and if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab, 9 inches point to point, and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. And don't forget, Diamond Jim, he's a tagged rockfish swimming into Chesapeake Bay. We've caught about over a dozen imposters so far, and right now, from now through Labor Day, if you catch the one, the only, Diamond Jim, he is worth $25,000. Yes, $25,000, Diamond Jim. That's exactly right. So, stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. Again, that's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Hey, don't forget, if you need equipment to catch that big old rockfish out there, why not check with Clyde Sports Shop? They've got everything you need for trolling and live lining and rods and reels and equipment that you need, the hooks and everything else that you can use, and they've got a wealth of advice. Don't forget, they've got bait and tackle for everything from panfish to striped bass and everything in between. Rod and reel repair. You break a tip off your rod, you take it into Clyde's, they'll put a new one on there. You need your reel fixed, take it in there, they'll take care of you. Their prices are very reasonable. They have firearms, too. Don't forget, muzzleloaders by Thompson Center, the full line of Browning firearms, you know, for waterfowl and everything from, you know, deer and geese, you name it. They've got it. And they've got firearms for personal protection, home protection. If you need a semi-automatic handgun, you can find it right there at Clyde Sports Shop, and the ammunition to match. So they've got everything. Everything, everything, everything for fishing and hunting at Clyde Sports Shop. Gunsmithing. I mentioned rod and reel repair. Scope mounting. Bore sighting. You name it, they can pretty much take care of it. Their number is 410-242-6108. Their address is 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Clyde Sports Shop on the web at clydesports.com. Their fishing hotline, 247-347-4247-FISH.
The bone collector himself, Michael Waddell, is coming to Autumn Sky Outfitters in Street, Maryland for one appearance only on Monday, August 12th from 2 to 5 p.m. Along with Michael Waddell will be Travis T-Bone Turner and Nick Munt on the Brotherhood of the Bone Collector bus tour. Don't miss this one and only August 12th appearance of Michael Waddell at Autumn Sky Outfitters, Harford County's largest archery, crossbow, waterfowl, kayak pro shop at 3404 Conowingo Road. That's Route 1 in Street. Call 410-836-3660 for more information.
For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Fishbones has all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report in the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bed liner. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
The Carlisle Sports and Outdoor Nationals kick off September 6th and run through September 8th at the Carlisle PA Fairgrounds. Buy, sell, and trade everything outdoor related. Experience the PA State Knife and Tomahawk Throwing Championships, archery shoots, calling competitions, a gun show, ATV and lawnmower demos, big game scoring, dog demonstrations, interactive seminars, a sportsman's auction. You can win a Ford Raptor or ride on a monster truck. Activities for the entire family, too. Visit CarlisleSportsOutdoor.com for details.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back with Mary Groves, who is with Maryland Department of Natural Resources, and her focus is on blue catfish, right, Mary?
Correct.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, you were just starting to talk about flathead catfish on the in the Susquehanna complex, and how in the heck did they get there?
Chances are they came down from the Susquehanna, farther on up in the Pennsylvania side. A lot of fish make it past Conowingo Dam. That's the assumption. You know, a lot of these species, very much like the snakehead, we don't really know how they get to, some of the areas that they do. It could be just an accidental stocking. In the case of the flathead, it kind of makes sense that they would come down river. And they, unlike blue catfish, flathead catfish don't spread out quite as much as blues. Blues of all the catfish species are the ones that will move around the most. Flathead catfish tend to kind of stay around a certain area. They'll spread out some, of course. They're looking for habitat and food or whatever. So, you know, they're not moving out quite as quickly as maybe the blue catfish would be in some of these other river systems. But
have we seen any anywhere else other than the Susquehanna complex?
In the Potomac.
Okay.
They are in the Potomac. They were actually stocked in the Occoquan. And it's interesting, they were stocked probably around the time that that blues were stocked in some of the other Virginia rivers.
What were they thinking down there?
I don't know. They stocked them in the Occoquan River, and to kind of illustrate how some of these species react is they pretty much, they'll stay in the Occoquan. Occasionally, we will see one outside of the Occoquan Bay area, but, you know, they've been there for a long time, and you would think you would see them throughout the rest of the river, and we really don't.
Yeah.
We've seen them a few outside of the Occoquan, and then there have been some reports, and as recently as this year, one of our biologists that surveys the upper part of the Potomac above Great Falls, they did find one or two up there. Again, we're not certain of where they came from. They certainly didn't move up there, so somebody had to put them in the river system. So they have found a couple up
Amazing.
There as well. But basically, that's the two areas that we would see them the most is the Upper Bay, and then if you go into Occoquan
yeah.
Bay, you'd have a good chance at finding one.
Well, for clarity's sake, let's differentiate between the two. The blue catfish is a grayish, darkish catfish, where a flathead is more of a brown, mottled-looking catfish. The flathead is the one that we see on these shows where people go noodling for catfish.
Correct.
For the most part.
Yeah.
And we certainly don't want to encourage that anywhere in Maryland, that's
no.
For sure, because that's a dangerous, dangerous thing unless you know what you're doing.
And we have a lot of callers that will call into our office and ask about noodling. And, we really don't have the habitat like they do down south for
right.
that. You know, and I'll tell them that right up front. We don't have as many of the undercut banks, root balls that you're going to see out in the main part of the river, especially where we find flatheads. So
here would be my first response. You'd like to go noodling for catfish in Maryland. All right. First thing I need to tell you is this. You will die.
Yeah, a lot of times when you see that on television,
yeah.
they're also in flooding conditions.
Yeah, exactly
that's
right.
That's kind of an interesting thing to kind of aspire to. But yeah, they're more of a brownish. Actually, they're a beautiful color as far as I'm concerned. Any flathead that I've seen,
yep.
the color of them is just really, really pretty, and they have, the speckles on them. To me, when I'm trying to explain it to somebody who wants to know the difference, I'll tell them it looks almost like somebody took cinnamon and just sprinkled over the top of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they have definitely the flat head. You're going to notice that right off the bat. It looks
sure.
like somebody put the front of the fish in a vise. And they have a mouth right at the terminal of their face like that. And a blue catfish, they can really be anywhere from a very light gray to a beautiful steel blue.
Yep.
And
pretty much
a
solid
belly.
Pretty much a solid color.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And whereas a channel cat can be tend to lean towards a yellowish, and of course a distinctive forked tail on the channel cat, and then of course there's the white catfish, which doesn't get all that big, but it could be easily mistaken for
The one catfish that we get the most questions on that people don't know what they are. I don't think a lot of people, pay much attention to a white catfish.
Right.
They don't even know they really exist. I actually had somebody this week who sent me a picture thinking that he caught a flathead and it was a white catfish. But, white catfish are all head.
I mean,
you pull one up and you think you've got a whopper there, and then you look at this little tiny body and it's kind of disappointing. But they have the white barbels on the bottom, and they have the biggest head and the biggest mouth, really, when you're looking at proportions on a fish. So,
I caught one when I was a kid that was like 20 inches long.
That's a nice weight, really.
Yeah, in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I thought I had the new state record bullhead.
Yep.
You know, because that was a mistake I made. I thought it was a black bullhead, and it turned out to be a white catfish. I actually had to have a biologist identify it, and I was a little disappointed, but,
That's the one thing about fishing in our rivers, our tidal freshwater rivers, and that's basically the areas that we study. We're inland fisheries, so
right.
it seems kind of funny that we're even working in tidal water, but we're actually working in an area that we consider tidal freshwater.
There's sure.
still the tidal influence and salinities, really the maximum salinities that we do a lot of our survey work in is really 5 parts, and that's even stretching it. So like on the Potomac, that really puts us in most cases, we work in tidal freshwater from the DC line on the Potomac down to maybe the 301 bridge, and then the cutoff is different for each river system that
sure.
we work on above that. And I manage the 4 southern counties, but we've done work on the tidal tributaries of freshwater all the way up to the Susquehanna or up to the Northeast River and occasionally even over to Sassafras. But, our inland fisheries people that also work tidal waters have a lot of water to cover, when you consider the tributaries to the bay and their tidal freshwater, and then, of course, the inland part of it, which is any rivers, lakes, and ponds that go past that fall line.
Right. All right. Mary, unfortunately, fortunately for me, unfortunately for you, we got to take another break here, and we'll talk. We want to come back and talk a little bit about diet.
Okay.
And you did mention habitat there for a while, which is pretty cool. And then we'll talk about some of the studies that you guys are actually doing on the blue catfish. And if you want to bring the other species in, you're certainly welcome to do that. And we also want to encourage anybody who catches one to go in and take that angler survey online and report your catch too.
That's definitely important for us.
So we'll do that.
Thank you.
Yep, we'll be right back after I tell you folks about Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. That summer is the time we're here. Picnic time. Yes, indeed. Family get-togethers, camping trips. Summer is Man, it's for corn on the cob and steamed crabs and fresh tomatoes and cold, juicy watermelons and cantaloupes. Man, I love summertime and the fresh produce you can get from Papa John's Farm. And here's a tip for you. If you like your, you know, you like to steam some crabs, you get some live crabs from our buddies at NBS Seafood and go over to Papa John's. They're like two exits down on 97. You just grab some corn on the cob, steam it all up together. What do you think about that? Steam crabs and corn. Corn with crab seasoning. I get it. Oh, my mouth's watering right now. But anyway, if you enjoy your time outdoors with great tasting food, Papa John's Farm is the place to go for all your produce. They have an enormous produce barn. Their own tasty, super sweet corn. Homegrown tomatoes are ready. Squash, zucchini, peppers, onions, all fresh from the gardens. Green beans, cucumbers, mouth-watering cantaloupes, and sweet watermelons as well. Papa John's is located just off I-97. That's exit 12, 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. The phone number, 410-969-8810. Write it down. Papa John's Farm is open every day, Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7 and Sunday 9 to 6. Again, that phone number, 410-969-8810. If you need some corn for dinner, I recommend Papa John's Farm. Just need a nice tomato sandwich, Papa John's Farm. If you want some, peaches and plums and, fresh fruit, Papa John's Farm. If you want some fresh vegetables for dinner, Papa John's Farm. If you want corn on the cob for a family reunion or a church picnic or something like that, 410-969-8810. Guess where you get it? Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you.
Don't be fooled by cheap crab prices. That's bull stuff. NBS Seafood offers only Maryland live crabs, a little more expensive, but well worth it. Avoid the pre-steamed, mushy, flavorless crab scandal. Get your live Maryland crabs at NBS Seafood. Maryland watermen supply the best local crabs caught today for you to enjoy tonight. Cook your own crabs to unlock that special flavor that Maryland blues are famous for. Just 20 minutes in your steamer, so good your taste buds scream. We even have a crab spice for you. Call NBS Seafood at 410-271-3202. NBS Seafood has fresh Maryland crab meat, live Maine lobsters, live crawfish, wild-caught Gulf shrimp, and many fresh and flash frozen delights. And they shed their own soft crabs in their own tanks for the cleanest, freshest, soft crabs anywhere. NBS Seafood has a roadside stand at 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie, next to Jim Donnie's RV. Open 7 days, Monday through Friday, 2:30 to 6:30, Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 6:30. That phone number, 410-271-3202. 271-3202 for live crabs, NBS Seafood. No bull stuff sold here.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, with a Linex spray-on bedliner.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. What's the biggest mistake people make in saving for their kids' college education? The Wall Street Journal asked several experts. One of the most common answers the experts gave is waiting too long to start saving. You know all the variables, how long you have until your child goes to college, the approximate cost of school, and how much you need to pay your current expenses. It's a matter of planning and sticking with the plan. Several experts said many parents start a savings program and then stop. The experts also say it's a mistake not to do a cost-benefit analysis of the college program your child chooses. In other words, don't spend more on the education than the child can pay off with the salary he or she will be able to earn. The other big mistake most experts agreed on was parents sacrificing their retirement savings for college savings. Parents want their children to be financially prepared for college, but the bare-bones truth is your kids can borrow money for college. You can't borrow money for retirement. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
I know my business, but I don't know much about creating a website.
Who has the time to create their own website?
Well, I always thought a website would cost a lot of money. Then I discovered Wix.com.
Wix.com was the perfect solution.
It's so easy. You choose a beautiful design, write what you want to say, and move your images where you want them. No coding, no confusion.
And the best part is that Wix.com is absolutely free.
No matter what size your business, people don't take you seriously unless you have a professional-looking website. Create your own stunning website for free at Wix.com. That's W-I-X.com.
PaidAtHome.com won the American Business Award. This is how our listeners are earning from a few hundred to several thousand a month from your kitchen table, even while you sleep. Like listener Nancy, who earned $1,500 month one, saw that jump to $5,000 to now over six figures. Your six-figure income coach will show you how to earn that kind of money from home, too. Hurry, they're giving away $1,000 to someone this year just for checking them out. PaidAtHome.com. PaidAtHome.com. Income not typical. See PaidAtHome.com for income expectations.
Talk radio. Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, Tommy James, Dragging the Line. We got Mary from the Department of Natural Resources, Mary Groves. You back with us, Mary?
Yes.
All right, cool. All right, so we got these great big giant catfish out there swimming around with those great big mouths on the front of them. And my guess is they can eat a lot of stuff.
They certainly can. We've got, we've had a diet study going on for probably 3 years now, where we were trying to determine what blue catfish in the Potomac River. The diet study is really just only on the Potomac River, since that's the largest population we have, and
right.
and to determine, you know, what they are eating and feeding on, so that we can see how they might impact some of the other
species. Well, sure, absolutely.
The river system. And unfortunately, the fish don't always cooperate with us, and we have a large number of fish that have nothing in their stomachs. So we've tried different ways of doing this. We actually have pumped stomachs, which is kind of interesting. People are always interested in how you do that on a catfish.
And yeah.
It's not easy.
No, it doesn't sound easy.
Especially not when you've got a 50-pound fish there. So
and they don't want to cooperate.
Yeah,
big spikes on the top and on the sides, right, yeah.
They kind of flop around and throw all your equipment around and everything. And we've tried doing that, but really the best way is to just catch the fish and dissect it, and we try to get as much information. If we have to do that, we try to get as much information as we possibly can. So that's a good way for us to get all sorts of information off the fish. We get otoliths, which are little ear bones in their heads, so we can get a really good, accurate age on the fish. And then also tells us exactly, we can examine the stomach contents a lot easier.
Sure.
And, you know, we've fished during the day, we've fished during, you know, the evening, you know, we tried doing several different ways of getting this diet information. And a lot of times we're getting empty stomachs, and a lot of times we're getting fish that we just, or matter that we just can't identify. So what we've done is that we've come up with a list of fish so far that we're finding, or items, not necessarily fish, in their stomachs. And then the cool thing is that we've partnered with the Smithsonian Institute and given them samples so they can take some of this other matter that we can't identify and do some DNA work on it and tell us what those are. So that's a really exciting thing for us, because
good.
That means that we're not wasting time. We're actually still getting data. But we've got a huge variety, and, I mean, it really kind of depends on the size of the fish.
Okay.
You know, you get a blue catfish that's under 12 inches in length. It's feeding primarily on invertebrates, you know, bugs, whatever it can find out there. You get a fish between 12 and 25 inches, and he's still eating that stuff, but he's also added fish to his diet. Once you get beyond 25 inches, the vast majority of what that fish is eating are other fish,
right.
or crayfish. So
okay.
I need to throw that in there, too. So we've come up with a list. There's a wide variety, and if anybody's really interested in this information and wants to get more than what I'm giving them, they're certainly welcome to contact me.
Okay.
I'm easy to find on our DNR website, and
Mary Gross,
Blue
sure.
Catfish, right? It's
okay.
To say that I'm the contact person. There's a link there for
well,
it. But
well, let's boil it down. Fish. Can you give us the top two diet?
Well, yeah, white perch is definitely one of them, which is kind of interesting. I really didn't kind of expect that. And then shad. But shad also, it doesn't just include like your hickories or American shad. That also includes gizzard shad, which anybody that goes out there fishing for catfish knows that they really enjoy gizzard shad.
Well, that's what the guys use. They'll use a whole or half gizzard shad on a, 80-pound test and a, 10 or 12 odd hook.
Yeah,
you know?
I've fished for them myself, and
yeah.
That's what we use. We use cut up fresh gizzard shad, scale them up a little bit, and get them so all the oils and everything are out there, and that's really what they enjoy feeding on. But we've got the shad group that's mixed in there, and then white perch, and then interestingly other catfish and catfish eggs. So There's, but like I said, we've found snakeheads, we've found, crayfish, we've found crabs, we've found goldfish, and all sorts of interesting things. But probably the top ones that I would, that I would say it would be white perch is definitely up there at the top, and then some of those other species that I mentioned. Now, I'm saying that, caveating that with waiting to get the results back from the Smithsonian, because a lot of these, I'm looking at my graphs right now, and I've got a big chunk of every single size group is unidentified,
sure.
What we are calling fish remains, but it could also be crayfish.
Is that because their digestive system works so well?
Very quickly, yeah.
Yeah, just,
and especially this time of year.
Sure.
I mean, if we're out there collecting blue catfish and we're using them for a diet study, we've got to throw them on ice right away because their digestive system just works so fast. So, we're trying to still refine throughout the four seasons, and we're doing this seasonally because we've got fish that come and go out of these river systems, especially in the springtime. We've got fish that come up into the river systems and leave. So we've got to kind of compare this from season to season.
Sure. I mean, you got, like you mentioned, the shad, come and go. You got hickory shad and American shad. The
right.
Gizzard shad are pretty much year-round, are they not?
Right. Yes.
The herring come and go. So,
yep.
Yeah.
And even the white perch,
exactly.
They come in, pretty
sure.
Heavy at one point in the year, and then the rest of the year there's some there. It's like striped bass. You've always got your resident population, and then the majority of them will leave. So, but they really utilize perch population to a great degree, which was kind of surprising for us. But we've also, and this kind of ties into habitat. If you are really interested in blue catfish, let's say you're trying to figure out how to go fish for them, and you do a search on the internet, you're going to find out that basically they say that they're a big river fish like swift water,
right.
with gravel bottom. They like a little bit more clear water. Well, Potomac certainly isn't clear.
No.
And there's a lot of places where you don't have gravel bottom, but we've still got blue catfish here. But when we initially started setting up these studies, since we, it was new to us to try to catch these guys, we concentrated pretty much on the deep water, which is kind of hard to do when you're using an electrofishing boat, which really only goes down. The electricity that goes into the water really only goes 6 to 8 feet, depending on the conduct.
I've been on that boat. I've been on the boat on the Patuxent with Marty, or not Marty, but what's your hatchery guy? Brian.
Brian Richardson.
Yeah, Brian Richardson and some of the guys that run that thing. And that's a pretty impressive piece of machinery, but it, like you said, it's limited.
It's very limited. And,
yeah.
and conductivity is everything,
and
how well the electricity goes through the water. But it's blue catfish in particular, they have, they're called electrophores. Some people call them something else, but they're these little spots that run along the lateral line of the fish.
Right.
And they're very, very, very sensitive to electricity. So if you use low-frequency electricity in your output for this machine with the electrofishing boat, we can actually bring fish up out of 80 feet of water.
Really?
It's just really kind of cool because we can't do that with any other species. It's really just primarily blue catfish, but it'll also bring up some white catfish in
right.
channels as well. So we have been able to do that, but that's where we focused. We focused in the deeper water, you know, right off the drop-offs, you know,
sure.
classic where you would think you would find these fish.
And people don't know that the Potomac, you know, it looks like a nice lazy river, but there are places out there that are 60, 70, 80 feet deep.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's currents down there.
Very
I mean,
much.
It really depends. I mean, you go out of some of these bigger tributaries, you've got currents, you've got some water treatment plants that actually have their outflows that are
yep.
in the mouth of these systems. So there's areas that kind of catch catfish
yep.
that you're wondering what's down there. I mean, they do still like structure, but it's
sure.
normally underwater structure, you know, rock piles or anything that's down there. But doing this study, it's been interesting because what we've also discovered in the stomachs of some of these fish, or in a lot of them that we've caught, we're finding smaller species. We're finding crayfish. We're finding tessellated darters, which are really a stream fish. They're not something that you're going to find in the main part of the Potomac River. Those are up in the tributaries. So we've also, when we're having a little bit of difficulty, you know, finding them in our deeper water areas, then that's the time when we'll switch over and we'll go up into these shallow systems, and we're finding them in 3 feet of water,
wow.
4 feet of water. And we're not talking little one-foot-long catfish. We can talk about, you know, 20, 30-pound catfish that will go up into these shallow systems. And that's where the interesting part is for us because and that's the importance of a study like this, where, you know, you think that, you know, maybe this fish isn't going to create too much of a competition because they're a deeper water fish. What do we have out there that's really going to use that habitat? But blue catfish do not. They will come up into those shallow systems
wow.
and quite frequently to feed. So the same species that we're finding them, we're finding some fish in them. We found largemouth a couple times, not too often.
Right.
But where they might not be feeding directly on these fish species that we might be concerned about competition, they're eating the food that these other fish
exactly.
feed on.
Exactly.
And that's why an invasive species, that's why these studies are important, too, to answer that question. What are they feeding on? How might they be competing with other populations? And the diet study that we're doing now has really surprised us all on just how much they do use those shallow water habitats. So and if you get on some of the catfish bulletin boards, you'll see these guys are
sure.
fish in the shallow waters as well. But that kind of surprised me. I really didn't expect to see that quite as much as I have on the Potomac River.
Hang on, Mary. We got a caller here on the line. Let's talk to Dale in Easton. Good morning, Dale. How are you?
Good morning, Miss Mary. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you.
All right. I hope Tim and the clan are okay.
Yep.
Two questions.
Yep.
One. Any indication that blue catfish have gotten above the fall line and up above Great Falls?
We haven't seen it. We haven't seen it yet.
Well, that's good.
I did have one angler that said that he caught one at the mouth of the Monocacy, but when he sent me a picture, it was not a blue catfish.
Okay.
Now, somebody else might say that, and that's why if anybody catches a fish and they're even the slightest bit in doubt, send us a picture. We
yeah.
can identify it, you know, and find out from that. And the real importance with a blue catfish, or if you think you've got a blue catfish, is to get us a side view because it's really that anal fin that really is the ringer
yeah.
as far as identifying a blue catfish. You can't always go by color because sometimes your camera
you
know,
right.
shows things up differently. But I tell anybody if they're not sure if they have a blue catfish or not, look at that anal fin, and if it looks like somebody took a pair of scissors and just cut right across it, that's
mm-hmm.
most likely a blue catfish. I mean, you can go with the tail, too. I mean,
yeah, the tail, but
the
sometimes the tail is not that distinctive. And you can, of course, count fin rays and all, which is kind of a...
Yeah, that's a pain in the neck. And, I mean, I've done that myself.
Tell me about it, yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, you never know if you're getting a full fin. I mean, a lot of times, you know, fish regenerate things or they... You know, especially even with the tail, we've seen a lot of channel catfish with the tips of the tails eroded away. So
right.
that anal
right.
fin, I mean, color is good because, you know that most of the time channels are that real pretty bronze or, you know, brownish
right.
color. We've had them actually all sorts of different colors. We've had them gray, brown, bronze.
Olive,
so it's kind of interesting. But
olive color too, yeah.
That anal fin is a real good cut. But no, So far, we haven't documented any above Great Falls. If anybody thinks of found one, send me a picture, and I'd be glad to ID it for them.
Right. Second question, Mary, is, you know, back when we started fool with them, you know, 50, 20 years ago, we were hoping the commercial guys would help make a dent in the blue catfish, but they don't really think a whole lot of blue catfish. They didn't handle well, and they weren't real good candidates for the live market. Has that changed at all?
Yes, and actually it has.
Before we get into that, guys, hang on.
Okay.
One more break, and then we'll come back to you to wrap it up, because we are, I told you, go pretty quick, didn't I, Mary? How about that? We're almost at the end. And Dale, hang on there, buddy. We'll get to that question on the ports of the commercial fishery when we come back.
Okay.
All right. It's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. That's right. Now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. Diamond Jim, he's a tagged rockfish out there. He's worth $25,000 right now through Labor Day. That's right. Just waiting to take your bait. I'd go live lining for him if it were me. But that's up to you. Lots of imposters, too, worth $500 a piece. You catch a rockfish with a bright green tag, call that number on the tag right away. You might just have captured a $25,000 rockfish. And if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab, well, you certify that, you're in the contest. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. Again, that website, dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? I hope so. And it's time for me to tell you one more time about Clyde Sport Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. If you need it for fishing, they got it. If you need it for hunting, they've got it. They got firearms. They've got Browning shotguns, rifles, and handguns. They have handguns, semi-automatics, all the major brands, and revolvers, too, for personal and home protection. They do all the services like gunsmithing and scope mounting and bore sighting and fishing rod repair and fishing reel repair. And don't forget, they got the fishing hotline at 247-3474-247-FISH. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Clyde Sports Shop. Online, clydesports.com. You can check that out online or give them a call. 410-242-6108, 242-6108, or better yet, stop by. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Again, that phone number, 410-242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop.
The bone collector himself, Michael Waddell, is coming to Autumn Sky Outfitters in Street, Maryland for one appearance only on Monday, August 12th from 2 to 5 p.m. Along with Michael Waddell will be Travis T-Bone Turner and Nick Munt on the Brotherhood of the Bone Collector bus tour. Don't miss this one and only August 12th appearance of Michael Waddell at Autumn Sky Outfitters, Harford County's largest archery, crossbow, waterfowl, kayak pro shop at 3404 Conowingo Road. That's Route 1 in Street. Call 410-836-3660 for more information.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W W Tire and Auto.
The Carlisle Sports and Outdoor Nationals kick off September 6th and run through September 8th at the Carlisle PA Fairgrounds. Buy, sell, and trade everything outdoor related. Experience the PA State Knife and Tomahawk Throwing Championships, archery shoots, calling competitions, a gun show, ATV and lawnmower demos, big game scoring, dog demonstrations, interactive seminars, a sportsman's auction. You can win a Ford Raptor or ride on a monster truck. Activities for the entire family, too. Visit CarlisleSportsOutdoor.com for details.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, we're back. We've got Mary Groves with Maryland Department of Natural Resources and Dale in Easton. Dale, your question was, what has changed in the status of the blue catfish to the commercial fishery? Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Because, again, I would think, Mary, it would be a viable management tool.
Yep. Well, we got two minutes to get that.
Start to increase the harvest of the things.
Well, as far as, in the past, people, a lot of the commercial guys did kind of shy away from blue catfish because they thought they didn't handle well, but that has definitely changed. I know Virginia's commercial fishery, they've harvested over 2 million pounds last year or the year before. Ours increased as far as the blue catfish commercial fishery in Maryland. The harvest increased 40% here in the last year. And right now we have a tagging program going on in the Potomac River. We've tagged blue catfish, and there's two tags on them. If an angler catches them, call the number on there. It's actually going to come to me. And they receive a hat. It's a catfish management hat, and then a lapel pin if you've got both tags. But anyway, one of those actually came back to me, called in, and it was from a buyer in North Carolina who had purchased some fish from a commercial waterman up here in Maryland, and he noticed these tags were on the fish. So there's definitely been an increase as far as commercial harvest of blue catfish. A few years ago, money-wise, they really weren't getting that much money per pound,
no.
But apparently that has increased. They've discovered that, you know, they do handle, fine. I mean, if you're selling to a live market, you know, the blue catfish tended to, you know, really move around quite a bit in the tank.
They would tend to spear each other. And all
right,
that
but whether they've learned, you know, that there's, you know, you can add some things in there to kind of heal that up.
Mary.
Whatever.
Hey, Dale.
Yeah.
We're out of time.
Right.
How about that?
All right.
So, look, Mary, thank you very much for joining us today. And Dale, thank you for your questions. We appreciate that. We're going to let both of you go here shortly. But we want to thank the Department of Natural Resources for helping us out. If you have any questions, folks, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com is the email. Contact me anytime. I usually get right back to you. And like us on Facebook, Outdoorsman Radio Show, Maryland Hunting Quarterly, Maryland Loves Crabs, and Ellis Outdoors LLC. Again, that email, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Again, we have reached the end of another hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show in the